Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us wherever you're listening on the KPCC smartphone app, kpcc.org, or your smart speaker. Remember, whenever you're around the house, just tell it to play KPCC, particularly when you never know when we're going to have the very latest election results. We'll bring them to you whenever they happen throughout the course of the day, not just during Air Talk here on KPCC. Coming up later this hour, KPCC politics reporter Libby Dankman will talk with us about a number of local races, Los Angeles City Council and some of the others that are going on. And we'll take a look at Oregon, where voters there passed a law that decriminalizes a number of hard drugs. And we'll talk about what that means for drug treatment programs there, as well as how enforcement is going to handle those drugs. That's coming up later this hour on Air Talk. But first, as you know, there were a number of ballot propositions that dealt with criminal justice issues in California and local measures that dealt with it, too. First, as we look at what happened with the state ballot measures, Proposition 20 was an effort by some to enhance the penalties for multiple counts of shoplifting, to make that what's called a wobbler, where it could be charged and judges could choose to sentence as a felony instead of as a misdemeanor for property crimes of under $950. There were other provisions about ability to have parole and get out of jail earlier or get out of prison earlier. But that was whacked by voters, 62% at this point in the count, saying no to Proposition 20. We also had Proposition 25, which saw criminal justice reformers on both sides of that measure, which was a referendum on a state law that was intended to do away with bail and replace it with an algorithm that judges would use to determine whether someone would be released on her or his own recognizance and given a future court date to appear. That lost 55% currently tabulated no, although I should actually say AP is not formally called that yet, even though it's down by 5 percentage points. So Prop 25 is still not called in that ballot measure. Then we have Los Angeles County, where George Gascón, who ran as a criminal justice reformer, is ahead of Jackie Lacey by about 5 percentage points in that race, and Measure J, which allocated 10% of unrestricted L.A. County funding for a variety of different outreach community programs and all aimed at dealing with the racial divide in the county. With us is KPCC criminal justice and public safety correspondent Frank Stoltz. Frank, thanks very much. Let's talk first of all about these state measures, because it seems we have a little bit of a different thing going on statewide than here in Los Angeles County.
I'm not sure why you say that, because, you know, 20 was designed to reinstate some criminal penalties and significantly expand DNA testing among criminal defendants to build the state database. And that's failing. So folks
don't want to expand.
Yeah. So, and then the one that we all probably got confused about was 25, which was to replace cash bail with a risk assessment tool to decide when people should get out of jail. You know, I think there's broad consensus that people want to get rid of cash bail, that it's not fair that somebody who just doesn't happen to have the money to pay bail to get out of jail, even if they pose no risk whatsoever to the community, that they can't get out, and that the murderer, you know, who may very well pose a risk to the community, can get out because he's got a lot of money. So I think the question here was, you know, what's the right way to do it? What's the right tool to use to decide, you know, who should be released from jail? And what was interesting is there was a split in the progressive community, because you had progressive stalwarts like Karen Bass, Congresswoman Karen Bass, and the Democratic Party, for that matter, saying that the tool that the state had come up with in its law was fine and that there should be a yes on 25. But the ACLU and NAACP saying no, that there are too many racial disparities and potential for racial discrimination in that tool, and urging a no vote. And they clearly won, or it looks like they're going to lose. So I think what happens next with that is, okay, back to the drawing board. You know, how do we get rid of cash bail in a fair way? Because that seems to there be seems to be broad consensus for that.
Well, and so what are the other ideas? Are there other ways of doing it fairly without using an algorithm that potentially disadvantages lower income and residents of color?
I think a lot of the debate is what goes into the algorithm. For instance, you know, how do you handle previous convictions and what types of convictions, violent, nonviolent, misdemeanor, others, particularly as, you know, the system itself, DAs across the state are charging differently now under various reform measures over the last few years. And then how do you account for, you know, a system system-wide, all of the racial disparities. So if you're relying heavily on the data from the system, past convictions, et cetera, arrests, and those are disproportionately disfavor, you know, African Americans and Latino men, how do you account for that? It's not easy, but they'll certainly be people working on that. With probably from Stanford, not from you know, if from the mathematicians from Stanford and the statisticians. It's a hard thing to do.
Well, and the other issue is, Frank, how much latitude do judges have with whatever algorithm is available for them to use, whether a person should be released or held in custody? And because judges, of course, know that every time one of those goes awry, someone that they release then, you know, commits a violent crime or something, it potentially, you know, lands on the bench of the judge.
And that works both ways. Part of the problem with 25 was if you stick solely to this this algorithm, and, you know, maybe the guy should be released, and yet the algorithm says no, he must stay in until his trial. Then you end up with the same problem that we have now, which is sort of unfairly and you know, without logic, holding on to people who are safe to release. So it's a complicated problem and challenge.
KPCC reporter Frank Stoltz joins us. He's correspondent covering criminal justice and public safety issues. Also here in Los Angeles County, George Gascon, the challenger to DA Jackie Lacey, with a significant lead in that race. Gascon running as a reformer, though the current DA Jackie Lacey said she's also in the midst of reforming criminal justice in Los Angeles. Things look good, Frank, for Gascon coming out of the primary, because he and the third candidate, public defender, had more votes than the incumbent. So already it appeared there was an appetite on the part of voters to replace the current DA.
No doubt there's an appetite for reform. I mean, if you look at 20 and 25, and then you look at Measure J, which moves funding in the county budget to alternatives to incarceration programming, like youth programs and such. If you look at the Board of Supervisors this summer deciding to shift $70 million into alternatives to incarceration funding, Measure R in March, which gave the sheriff's civilian oversight commission subpoena power over the sheriff. And then you see the LA City Council deciding to shift $150 million from the police department to programs for people who might be facing jail or coming out of jail. I mean, Larry, in any one year in the past, any one of these would have been a big deal. And here we see seven major, you know, shifts in how people are seen and making decisions around criminal justice. If Gascon gets elected, that really is the icing on the cake for reform advocates in L.A.
KPCC reporter Frank Stoltz with us. Your opportunity to weigh in on the results of Tuesday's election, specifically on criminal justice system issues with the DA's race, with Measure J in Los Angeles County, with the statewide ballot props. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Julie in the Valley writes on the page, I really think the problem with Prop 25 was the unclear wording. People voted no, thinking they were voting no on bail, when in fact no was a vote for bail. Very confusing. That's Julian in the Valley. That's something that might well be studied in the aftermath of the election, Frank, because it's, you know, ballot measures are confusing enough. Particularly, we're not used to seeing referendums like this very commonly.
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of, you know, I'm remiss in not saying that it was the bail industry that placed Prop 25 on the ballot, wanting to keep cash bail because that's the cash cow for them. And the way they worded it was that no vote kept cash bail, because they know, as you know, Larry, that, you know, propositions overwhelmingly tend to be voted down. You have to run a no on a proposition campaign is much easier than to run a yes on a proposition campaign, because voters tend to, if they don't know much, you know, vote no. And the bail industry knew that. And so this is, we could say, a victory for the bail industry, as well as more conservative members of the law enforcement community who think that cash bail should stay, because if you get rid of it, you're liable to release dangerous people. And with cash bail, there's an incentive to come back to court, even though most studies show that it doesn't act as an incentive to come back to court. So I can understand the listener's confusion, you know, and you know, again, progressives like the ACLU and the NAACP, you know, are happy today because, you know, they're going to get another shot at creating another system without cash bail.
Mark in Brentwood says, I'm really disappointed we didn't get rid of bail. I'm surprised California wasn't progressive enough for it. Well, Mark, as you just heard Frank describe, this is one where progressives were split on this issue because of the algorithm that would have replaced bail as the determiner of whether someone's released or stays in custody. Ralph in Woodland Hills says, it's hard to get consistent conclusions from the elections. Plenty of district attorneys have a variety of backgrounds, but most were prosecutors. I don't know how that signals reform. Well, I think, Ralph, the idea was that George Gascon, when he was the San Francisco DA, that he implemented a number of reforms when he headed up that office. Frank, do you want to elaborate on that?
I mean, I don't think that if George Gascon is elected, you can't overstate that it's a tectonic change inside the LA County District Attorney's Office. This is a traditionally conservative office that's been very conservative in its charging decisions. George Gascon is a guy who's an ex-LAPD cop, but who has gone through this transformation, in his own words, to become a man who wants to reform a broken system. And I think, you know, he has promised to charge fewer people, for instance, drug abusers and the mentally ill. So not even charge them and try to get them into treatment under Lacey. People would be charged first, and that would be held over their head if they didn't complete some sort of program. That's not how Gascon sees it. And one other issue, there are a ton, but another issue is he has promised to hold police officers more accountable and suggested that he will charge more police officers who use deadly force. It'll be very interesting to see if he does that. And Larry, you remember Black Lives Matter kind of began the movement against Jackie Lacey 3-4 years ago with those weekly protests outside her office. You know, a lot of folks sort of said, well, it's Black Lives Matter. They don't hold a lot of political power. And here we are, you know, 3-4 years later, and it looks like she will indeed have been ousted. And the question is, will Gascon address their number one issue, BLM's number one issue, which is the charging of police officers?
Well, and the question is, so let's say he does, presumably the current district attorney thought there was not a chance of getting convictions on those cases. So if Gascon decides he's going to prosecute more of those cases and doesn't get convictions, then the question is, does he change his approach or continue charging even if he doesn't have a strong batting average with those cases?
Yeah, I talked to somebody who's very familiar with Gascon and his thinking process, and the sense is that he will not be so conservative in deciding which cops to file charges against. Lacey said, look, if I don't think I can absolutely win, then I'm not going to file. We should note that police unions, spent more than $4 million against Gascon, trying to get Lacey another third term. One of the challenges, Larry, will be how he handles the law enforcement community, which was lockstep against him, not just on this issue, but on others. They see him as soft on crime. He was the co-author of Proposition 14, of course, which rolled back criminal penalties back in 2014. So, how will George Gascon, if he's elected, manage this? As one person put it, that people need to realize that an elected DA is not to be ignored. What this person was saying was the DA holds a lot of power. And so he's going to have to figure out a way to play ball with them, cops and prosecutors, but they're also going to have to learn how to play ball with him.
The other issue, of course, is there were critics of Gascon in San Francisco as property crime increased significantly. And the question is whether his approach to property crimes and his shyness about charging in many of those cases helped to fuel that increase in property crime. And so it'll be interesting to see if he is in fact elected and if it changes how property crimes are prosecuted, whether we see any sort of a change in numbers of property crimes here.
Yeah, I think that's one of the $64,000 questions. It remains a big question in San Francisco to what extent his charging decisions increased crime up there. He says the police department wasn't doing its job, wasn't arresting enough people and bringing him the cases. When crime goes up, nobody takes responsibility. When crime goes down, everybody
parents.
Says, hey, yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so the child has plenty of people claiming credit.
But, I just want to put a point on this. I mean, it's really, this guy is a different guy, and he's not from LA. He's got an interesting bio, and we can get into that if we have time. But I am responding to the listener who is wondering if he is going to bring a different attitude to LA in terms of prosecutions. He will.
Frank, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this, not just the significant lead that George Gascon, the challenger, has in the L.A. County District Attorney's race, an effort to unseat Jackie Lacey, the current DA, but also Measure J, Los Angeles County, a measure put on the ballot by the L.A. County supervisors. Thanks, Frank. We'll talk with you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Larry.
KPCC correspondent covers criminal justice and public safety. And coming up, we'll talk with KPCC politics reporter Libby Denkman and talk about the latest on the state and local races, including a couple of hard-fought Los Angeles City Council races, one that's closer and one that appears to be rather one-sided. It's Air Talk on KPCC. Back in 1 minute.